Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
It is Free for All Friday here on the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. And no, the Council of Trent podcast is not a solo gig. I get a lot of help here at Catholic Answers from our marketing department, HR, everyone who coordinates the Patreon account that makes this possible, as well as our radio department that provides me with equipment to record the podcast and technical support to make it sound oh so good. And that is the subject of today's podcast. So Nick Chamberlain, who is our sound engineer here at Catholic Answers, he is indispensable when it comes to producing this podcast. I rely on him to do all of the edits, to make sure the podcast sounds great, to get it compressed and sent back to me. And he does a lot of other work. He actually has his own podcast, NCC Audio. So he sits down with people and talks about everything related to sound and how to make things sound good. And so what I thought would be fun today is I would just sit in on and be the guest on his podcast. Once again, I'm grateful for Nick's support. He's been out for a little bit. He and his wife, Martha, gave birth to their second child, little boy, not too long ago. So they've got two little kids at home, just like I have two little kids at home. And he works very hard to make this possible. So I think you'll enjoy hearing our conversation about how to make podcasts, what goes into them, and how, if you're interested in podcasts, how to make yours even better. Even if you don't do podcasts, I think you'll like hearing about all the behind-the-scenes work that make every episode of the Council of Trent podcast possible. Before I get to that, though, just a reminder, for patrons, thank you for supporting us at TrenthornPodcast.com. If you are a patron, log in because you get access to bonus content like my conversion story. You can hear my conversion story available for the first time at TrenthornPodcast.com. If you give at least $5 a month, you have access to that and other great bonus content. Next, we've got great episodes. Just today, when I've recorded this podcast, I did an interview with a blogger at Patheos Non-Religious. The article was on whether pro-life, he wrote an article talking about how pro-lifers oppress women. So on Tuesday, we are going to have a discussion. We already had the discussion, but you'll hear on Tuesday our dialogue on the question, do pro-lifers oppress women? Very vigorous conversation. Went on longer than I thought it would, but I think it's well worth it for you to hear. That's going to be coming up next week on the podcast, and I'll be doing another interview next week, a dialogue on Sola Scriptura. And I love these because it's very rare for two people who disagree to sit down and have that civil conversation. I think you can learn a lot more sometimes from these sorts of conversations than from something like a lecture. That's what I want to do. I want to teach and equip you to have these kinds of conversations with other people. And so if you're ever in a conversation about how in the world do they make those podcasts, today's episode is great for you. So without further ado, here is my sit down with Nick Chamberlain on his show, NCC Audio.
And then it was time for us to create podcasts from scratch. And I was like, that shouldn't be too hard. And so we moved on to Catholic Answers Focus. Mm-hmm. And then we had a couple other podcasts within that time frame. And then we came up into, you wanted to start your own podcast, I remember.
That's right.
And so what was the brainstorming behind that? Like, how did we develop that?
Well, I remember I had wanted to do a podcast for a while to have something to offer people. And I thought at first, okay, maybe I'll do it outside of work time. Mm-hmm. But my time and my family is extremely limited. Yeah. So I figured, no, let's find a way to make this a project here at Catholic Answers. And so we put our heads together and originally just started, we started with once a week doing that. And I remember, it's so funny, our production times for the Council of Trent have really shrunk. So mm-hmm. when I used mm-hmm. to do episodes, I think they were 15, 20 minutes, and I would come in here in the studio and record them, and you would sit down and edit them and add in the bumper music and add in everything. Mm-hmm. And then, that it takes a certain amount of time. But now we've really been able to streamline the process. And mm-hmm. so I think that's something we can definitely talk about for people who are wondering, how in the world does a podcast even get made? Like, how do you make a podcast?
Like, how did I get started with my podcast? You know, got to come up with an idea of what you're going to talk about, right? Mm-hmm. But then, technically, how do you even start it? It goes a little deeper than just plugging your microphone into your computer, which you can, but then already right there, you're like, well, how do I plug my microphone into a computer? Because then you got to do a bunch of research on which kind of microphone, how am I going to get it into the computer, how is it going to record. Mm-hmm. And so it's a pretty tedious process to actually go through everything that could be in your budget and what's going to sound the best.
I started originally on the podcast because I was in Phoenix. I was working remotely when we did the very first few episodes. I remember starting, I think, with the Blue Yeti.
Yeah, you started with the Blue Yeti. So that's a USB microphone that just plugged straight into the computer. And then how did you record your voice onto the computer, or where did you record it to?
I think, you know, I started with the Blue Yeti, and I think I might have used GarageBand. Might have used, you know, the down and dirty, easy podcasters software, GarageBand, to make it happen. But honestly, Nick, I was not that impressed with... I mean, the Blue Yeti is a good microphone, but I just wanted that real crisp audio sound like we get right here, what we're doing. So I think what I was doing at that time when I lived in Phoenix, I was doing the Catholic Answers Live radio show remotely, and I had the Comrex unit.
Yes, yes.
So, and you can correct me if I'm wrong about this, the Comrex allows you to send a signal over internet, and I was able to plug in one of these, you know, bigger condenser microphones into it.
Yeah.
So it sounded way better. And then I think I just ended up doing the podcast audio that way to make it a lot cleaner.
Yeah. A couple of those podcasts, you would record it from your bedroom, and then I would connect with you on the Comrex, and then I would record it here on my computer here in San Diego while you're in Phoenix.
Yeah. So we started doing that. And then eventually, after I got back here, because a few months later, that was the very beginning of the podcast. A few months later, when I arrived here in San Diego, we were doing them in the studio a bit. I would reserve studio time. But then eventually I realized my office is kind of in the center part of the building. Mm-hmm. It has no windows.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a little sound booth because it has bookshelves that absorb sound. Well, you would know more about this because a lot of people, when they record a podcast, it sounds terrible because they're in a bad location.
Yeah, even if you're in a closet, you're still going to get a lot of weird frequency buildup. And so as an audio engineer, I'm able to listen to those different podcasts. And if you need help editing those podcasts, you know, I'm able to find those certain frequencies that are just over, I don't know, that are just super annoying sounding. I don't know how to explain it. Mm-hmm. But just make it sound tinny, or like, wow, they're in some room. It sounds dead. It sounds gross.
Yeah.
So you do need, you know, when recording your podcast, something lively, but still without a lot of different frequency buildup or too much reverberation, so it doesn't sound like you're in your bathroom or in your kitchen.
Yeah, because then you'll start hearing an echo of yourself if it's just an empty room.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the same thing. We don't notice this. Like, I remember when my wife and I, we bought our home here in San Diego, you stand in a room and you're talking and you hear a mild echo. That's when you're in a brand new house, you don't have furniture. Then once you get furniture in there, you don't hear that anymore. It's kind of the same thing in trying to figure out a recording studio.
Yeah.
So even here in the studio, you guys have these baffle things up on the walls.
Yeah, we have some quadratic residue diffusers. And so it...
Fancy, fancy.
All the frequencies hits those, and then it disperses equally, so there's not a certain buildup of a certain frequency.
If you came in the studio, folks, a quadratic frequency diffuser?
A residue diffuser. QRDs.
QRDs. Quadratic residue diffuser. They look like weird postmodern wood block art. But it does. It helps. Yeah. Though even in my office, I don't have the baffle, but it's smaller, and I have a ton of books.
And the books act just like the QRDs over there.
Yeah.
And then in our room, we also have the sound baffles, which absorbs the sound so it doesn't sound too echoey, which I still think we could use some more sound baffling in here, because when we have guests who talk too quietly and I turn them up, I still hear a lot of room noise.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's the first step of a good podcast is to get a great sounding dialogue with your voice, a good voice recording, right?
What do you mean a dialogue with your voice? That's an interesting phrase you use.
Well, in the film industry, when you're recording your voice, you call it your dialogue. So I was like, I was just going off of that.
Right, okay.
So recording dialogue.
Oh, yeah, like in film, because I used to do film back in, 2003 through 2005. In Scottsdale Community College, I was in the film program there. So we learned about ADR, which is automatic dialogue replacement, and things like that when you're recording sound. For my final project, you had to make a student film, and this was on 16mm film.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was a really cool thing. It wasn't like video cameras. Like, I had to check out like a $5,000 camera that you put a reel into.
Uh-huh.
you know, Kodak film. I shot it. I shipped the film to Bakersfield. They developed it and it came back to me, and I had this reel then to then I was transferred over to a digital tape to edit. And I was such, and I was a numbskull. For my final project, I did a short film based on Where's Waldo. So it was just the idea of, but it was a really sinister, dark, gritty reboot of Where's Waldo. So,
oh my goodness.
So anyways,
back, to see one day.
I'll have to dig up the old video files. So when it, let's say you record and put it in the studio, for me, I record it. I feel like you're the one who makes the magic happen later when you're playing with the file.
Yes, in post-production. So when we originally started with the Council of Trent, Trent would just record his voice, and then I gave him a bunch of helpful techniques on how to make it sound better and like which microphone to use, and we were able to get you a good sounding microphone. But you can still have a great sounding podcast without a super expensive microphone. There are microphones out there that you can use. So once you do have your voice recorded, Trent would then send me the voice file, right?
Yeah.
And then I had to, we went on premiumbeat.com to find the music that really fit with your podcast, which that also took kind of a while.
Yeah, but I think that's important. If you're doing a podcast, you should find music that really represents the theme of the podcast, your personality. So when I went out there, when I heard the theme for the Council of Trent, I think its description was like upbeat, motivation. To me, it sounded, it had a nice quasi-cheesy 80s style to it that makes me happy.
Yeah.
And that's my personality coming through. And so that works for me. But for anyone else, I mean, you can spend hours going through a lot of this royalty-free music. But I think it's important to find the music that really fits the personality of your podcast.
And so once we found the music, Trent sent me the music file. And then I went through the file to find the best portion of the music that would work well with the intro and any in-between segments and then the outro. And then after we got the music and the intro and outros that I wanted to use, we had to get a voiceover. You don't have to do voiceovers, but I really think it makes your podcast, you know, go to the next level.
Oh, it sounds so professional. When I listen to podcasts and I hear that, I feel like, ooh, who sponsored this person? I mean, it helps you to see this is not some guy in his bedroom cooking up stuff. I mean, it adds a, you know, legitimacy to it. So yeah, you can go online and find these voiceover people. I almost want to try this at some point. You're listening to the Tetris Forever podcast. For more information, like maybe I'll try voiceover work at,
no,
at
it's
some
fun.
Point.
So just to let everyone know, we did use voicejungle.com. So that's been working for us. And there's a lot of different other websites out there to use, but we did use them for Trent's and for Catholic Answers Live's voiceover.
Yeah, we just send them the script, say, hey, I need a, you listen to sample voices and you see one, so it's at voicejungle.com. Listen to a sample voice. Oh, I like how this person sounds.
Yeah.
You send them a script and they get it back to you pretty quick.
And if you like the sound of my voice, you can just go ahead and email me at nick@nccaudio.com and I can do voiceover work too.
Do you do voiceovers as well?
No, I don't know. I'm talking in a microphone. I can do it though.
Oh,
now,
okay.
Apparently. I don't know. That'd be fun though.
I've also thought about wanting to do it, maybe do character voices like for cartoons or animation.
I think that would be like my dream job. I don't know why. If I could do, you know, like play a character on King of the Hill or some kind of fun cartoon.
Back in,
I would love to do
during
that.
My community college days when I was in the film program, one of the professors recruited me actually to do voice work for a one-shot puppet show episode.
Oh my gosh.
And so I was tasked to record a voice for one of these puppets.
Oh my gosh.
I've never seen the final product actually, and it sounds terrifying. But if you see a weird puppet out there that kind of sounds like me, you're right. I did like this teenage voice that is based loosely on the guy in The Simpsons who works at the Krusty Krab, not the Krusty Krab.
Okay, yeah.
The Krusty the Clown's burger place.
Who's going through puberty, and his voice is
always, oh, I'm sorry, sir. I don't think that's such a good idea. Oh, maybe we should do this. I don't really know. So that was the voice that I used for that.
So I
have the teenager voice. Yeah. Oh, I don't know, sir. I also have one that's loosely based on Salah from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Ah, Indy. Very, very dangerous, Indy.
I am the monarch of the sea. I am the fruit. Yeah. So, I mean.
You have a lot of voices. Even when we listen to you on the radio, you're always imitating people and using those voices.
My impersonations are tremendous. People, not the people, Nick. People love my impersonations. Tremendous.
Oh, my gosh. That is hilarious. All right, so we're talking about how to make a professional-sounding podcast.
Right.
We go through the get a great-sounding voice file. You get your music for intro, outro, and for what else you need it. You get your professional voiceover for intros and outros. And next, after that, I have to go through, and then I will nitpick everything, right? So I will go through and make a podcast just sound perfect.
Yeah, so when people know, this is interesting.
This is the hard part.
Yeah, so because you handle other people's podcasts and not just my own. So right now, what's interesting is we used to send you, when I used to just do a weekly one, you'd go through and do a lot of the editing, trimming the ums, the ahs, the breaks. Mm-hmm. We haven't had to do that as much recently because now that I've done this for over a year, you actually haven't, I've been able to loosen your workload a little bit because I record the podcast now. Before, you used to have to drop in the music, the audio clips, and you probably do that for a lot of other podcasts.
Yeah, so that's not too difficult once I have that place, like where the music should be.
Yeah.
The hard part is when I get the voice file, I have to listen through it, and I listen through it in real time.
Yeah.
And I have to make people start over, people start over, people start over. And I have to go through and I have to delete each one and I make all the gaps super smooth. I make sure there's no pops or clicks. I remove all the noise. I will do all the EQ that's necessary. And I have, over the 5 years, I came up with a good system on all the dynamic processing that I need to use. So I kind of streamlined that.
So what is, so that's, because sometimes I'll send it to you and that's what I love. I'll send you the audio.
Yeah.
And then what I do when I record it, so I'll sit down and normally I actually do the podcast in about one take. And
yeah, so Trent's crazy, everyone. He does a podcast, a 30-minute podcast in one take, and I will not edit any spaces or gaps or coughs. I just, it's crazy.
No, sometimes in my podcast, so I will, like if I have something stuck in my throat, what I'll do is I'll just stop. And I'll just be quiet for about 5 seconds. And then you look in the audio file and it's easy to see, oh, there's the place where I have to quick take that out. Or I think today, actually, I need you to edit a podcast in a clip. Some people are swearing. So you're just going to add that nice little tone.
That 1K hertz tone. Yeah, I'll add that.
To add over that.
So you're giving me more work today. Shoot.
Yeah, just a little. But otherwise, for a lot of other people, when you send it, they've got to do the start and the stop and doing all of the clipping. And yeah, that can be time consuming, but it's important. You got to have that. Otherwise, you've got bad quality audio.
I guess to let everyone know, so someone will send me a 15-minute raw, unedited voice file. That 15-minute file can take me up to an hour and a half of my time to edit. And a lot of work goes into editing these podcasts to make them sound professional and ready.
Because it's not just taking out where people like me make a mistake. Mm-hmm. I still don't fully understand this. I just know it's magic what you do. Because I write in the notes, like, let's say I do a 30-minute podcast. I didn't have to stop anywhere. Mm-hmm. And what now with my, I have a Behringer soundboard. So I add in the music and the clips live as I record.
Yes.
A lot of podcasts, I'll send it to you and I just say, hey, Nick, episode went well. Just needs an EQ and compression. Mm-hmm. Equalize and compression. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I know compression. You're making it a smaller file to upload. Mm-hmm. I don't really understand. I get the idea, but I wouldn't be able to explain to someone how to equalize my podcast audio.
So Trent will send me the audio file, and it does not sound good to be released to the podcast world. So it needs to sound podcast ready. So he'll send me, and I'll look at the WAV file, and it'll be maxing out around negative 20, negative 17 dB.
So the WAV file is like when you look at an audio file on a computer, you see little, just for people who've never heard of this.
Yeah.
It's not like ocean waves. But it's like, because sound, you know what? I need to remember this. I was at the Science Museum with my kids a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And sound, maybe you know this because you're an audio guy. Sound and light, they travel in waves. They travel in different kinds of waves. So I know that sound and water actually travel in different kinds of waves. Water is circular. Sound, I think, is longitudinal.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if that sounds about right. There's like longitudinal. I don't know. I'm doing it with my hands motions. It goes up and down like a or it's like compression, and I don't know. I'll get into that in another podcast. I'll explain the science behind how sound waves
but
work
but
if everyone's
you,
interested.
Right, but when you look at the audio, because I've seen this on GarageBand, you can see the actual waveforms. You see where the sound is peaking, going up and down. And so here, you have to go in and fix that.
Yeah, so I'll go through, I'll do my magic. It's Shift A. Don't tell anyone else who's listening. Just kidding. So I use Adobe Audition, and I have multiple dynamic processing things that I do. Mm-hmm. So I will normalize it. I will hard limit it. I will do compression to it. And this compression is dynamic compression, not data compression. So like where there's peaks are too intense, I'll eliminate the peaks, and then I'll raise the overall level, and I'll just do a couple more little magical touches that make your podcast sound great.
Yeah, so it handles the volume, mm-hmm. the pitch of my voice, a little bit of the tone, so mm-hmm. it just sounds a little bit richer. It mm-hmm. always sounds a little fuller after you play with it.
Yeah, yeah, with all that dynamic processing. I don't touch too much EQ with your voice because it already sounds great going through the microphone. And like the mic.
Well, there's other reasons my voice sounds great, Nick, when it goes through the microphone. Some people just have podcast voices.
That's true.
What are some of because you do other people send you podcasts all the time to edit though. Uh-huh. And so what are some of the annoying things that you have to do on the EQ end?
Oh, a lot of times there are super intense S's. And so then the sibilance is so bad. So I'm doing it like trying to overdo it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And so I have to find that certain frequency that it's really popping out, or it's like, oh, it's ear piercing.
Right.
And then I use a multi-band compressor. So that means so that frequency of the S sibilance will be anywhere between 5,000 to 7,000. And I'll take that little frequency band and I'll add a little compression, not a little, add a lot of compression. So as soon as that frequency peaks and hits the compressor will take it down, and so it doesn't hurt everyone's ears.
Yeah, so is that like the weird S whistle, like someone's talking like that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that could be annoying.
And then another one, just room tone, just overbearing room tone that I'm just like, every time they're talking, it's just that frequency that just builds up.
You just hear
up.
Like...
Yeah, well, that would be noise.
That's room noise.
That'd
what do you mean by
room?
Okay, what do you mean by room
tone? Would be like, oh, I'm going to talk. Hold on, I'm going to talk inside my coffee cup right now, and I don't know. It sounds too muffly. I don't know. If you hear example,
I just try to make everything sound clear. Yeah, I see the difference.
And like, what? It sounds like he's under a blanket, or you know what I mean? The frequencies are just going everywhere, and they need to be cleaned up. Basically,
it always amazes me what you end up cleaning up in the podcast and what the final product is, both in the quality of the sound to make it richer and sound better, and also the quality of the production and editing out where people are making mistakes. I think some people will send you 40 minutes of audio and you only get like, what, 18 minutes of a show back?
No, that's true. Oh my gosh. And that takes a long time, just for sure. A lot of people have a lot of just repeats. I have, just like word fillers, you know. I say you know a lot. You know. I'm trying not to say that as much.
Oh,
I'll take away.
I call those verbal hiccups.
I try hard
not to allow that to happen to myself as well. But I'll say or like. Although as a public speaker, I've had to train myself. That's why you don't have to edit my podcast as much. One, I don't mind if they show up. I'm a normal human being. This is how I would talk to
people. Yeah, and I try to make the podcast sound normal. Also,
right.
Not like some robot, because some people also take out their breaths completely. That sounds so unnatural.
Oh, weird.
If it's a super loud breath, I'll just, you know, tone it down a bit. And, you know, it needs to sound natural, like I'm, you know, talking to someone face to face. And then if I'm talking to someone, I'm not going to like be really this close to them also. So I'm not going to make it sound like this. I want them just to be... I don't even know if that made sense. Just
no,
clean
I get it.
And
well,
clear. And
well,
just...
you have to think nowadays when people listen to podcasts, a lot of them listen to it through noise-canceling headphones, through high-quality, even Apple earbuds will give you good sound. You'll be able to tell. Whereas if you listen on the little speaker on your computer, you know, you might not catch stuff. But if you start listening on headsets, like you can, the annoying stuff will really start to catch up to you.
Yeah, and especially if something is... over compressed and just they eliminated all the dynamics and it just really gives you a headache. So I still try to keep some dynamics in there to make it just breathable, so you're not getting a headache when you're listening to our podcasts with headphones. And I want it to sound great on all devices, whether you're listening through your computer speakers, on your car speakers. I make sure the podcast will sound great on all platforms.
I like it. And you do make mine sound great. That's what I've been super happy about. And it's neat to learn all the different things that go into it. Because like I said, I just record it. I do my best to make the environment good for you.
Yeah.
But it would not sound the same without just the little magic that you do on the mixer to make it podcast worthy. And then what's funny is then by the time you get there, though, you're still not done. Because mm-hmm. the final thing, this is something we used to do, and now we've streamlined this. You have to upload it, and you have to do it in an efficient and understandable way for people to even download the podcast at all.
Yep. So I have a MP3 tag. I put in all the metadata, so the title, the artist, the time, the date. And then you have to upload your podcast to your hosting site. So for us, we use SoundCloud.
Yeah.
And then in SoundCloud, you have to make sure all the descriptions and the titles, they're correct. And then when you're first starting with the podcast, after you have all that uploaded to your hosting site, for example, we use SoundCloud, you have to then take your RSS feed, and then that is what you plug in to the iTunes podcast. Now, I'll get into this on another podcast on
sure.
how to actually upload your podcast and make it turn into iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, radio podcast.
Yeah.
So that's the next step, is just uploading it. After I've done all the editing.
Well, it's nice you showed me the MP3 tag, because now when I do the episodes, I send them to you. We use SharePoint, so just kind of an online Dropbox system.
Yep.
I just upload the unedited, uncompressed WAV file.
Yep.
You fix it and send me back the untagged MP3, and I can just tag it on my computer. Because a lot of people, if you just upload it, what's nice with the tag is that when you get the file, like if you download the Council of Trent at home, it's got my little logo in it.
Yep.
It's got the
mm-hmm.
data for your iTunes player. It's not just some random computer name that shows up.
Yep. So you actually have to input the photo and the description so it will actually show up on the iTunes podcast and Google podcast player.
Mm-hmm.
So that takes a lot of work. So it isn't just, you know, record your voice and be like, all right, that's a podcast, and upload it. There's a lot that goes into it. And here at NCC Audio, that has been my goal, is to help people produce podcasts. Like that's one of the aspects of NCC Audio that I love doing, is producing podcasts. And the other one is to mix and master music. Just the other day, Chris Check's son, Nick Check, he sent me his final mix down of the song they've produced. And I went through and I did the final master of it.
Yeah.
And it just brought it to the next level, and it sounds great. Another aspect of NCC Audio is people send me their video file with all of their the audio files with it.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll send me the dialogue, the sound effects, and the music, and I'll go through and I'll adjust all the levels and make it sound great from scene to scene.
Oh, you mean like for people who have video projects?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's so important, because when I used to do video back at, you know, community college days and beyond, when I did video work, I always felt that in video and film, audio is 60% of it, not 50-50. Mm. When you have bad audio, I'll watch a movie or a video, even if the visuals are great, if the audio's bad, I can't watch it, because audio carries film and video so much. It's so important, and I get so annoyed when someone makes a YouTube video and they put all the effort in the video, and the audio's just terrible.
Yeah, so I've been learning a lot about that. So, you know, I just love all aspects of audio. I mean, I didn't know I was going to be an audio engineer. I thought I was going to be a drummer in a rock band and be a rock star. But then, you know, I've been doing this for 5 years now, and I decided, you know what, if I'm going to go down the audio engineer path, I might as well learn as much as I can and put all my effort into it, because that's where I see all my gifts and talents going towards.
And if you lose an arm, you could go back to becoming a drummer.
Yeah,
you know,
just like
Def Leppard.
Def Leppard,
yeah.
And then another aspect I love doing, I still play music, and so I also compose music for film and video. And so Brandon Manderson, another coworker here at Catholic Answers, and I, he has a video that's going to be released on July 25th at the Grossmont Center here in San Diego in the, where is it, La Mesa area?
Yeah.
And so I composed the theme music for that short film that's going to be showing. So I have a lot of you know, just a lot of desire to really continue to grow in my skills and gifts as an audio engineer and to help out everyone mm-hmm. else who needs help and with anything audio related.
Well, you've helped our show, so I know you can definitely help a bunch of other people as well. It's good work, my friend.
Thank you.
It's good work.
Hey, Trent, thank you so much for stopping by and being on the NCC Audio podcast, and it was great chatting with you. Thank you so much.
Oh, always happy to be here. And I got another episode for you to edit here. I'll be sending it right after we record.
And then where can we hear your podcast at Council of Trent?
Yeah, people can check out my podcast and hear Nick's fine work there mm-hmm. at TrentHornPodcast.com. People can subscribe to the podcast for bonus content, but it's also available for free on iTunes, Google Play. That is TrentHornPodcast.com.
And if you're interested in any audio work or have any questions for me, please feel free to reach out at nick@nccaudio.com. Follow me on, you know, all the social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And I'm getting back into it. I've been in survival mode the past 3 weeks trying to keep a little child alive with my 2-year-old, trying to keep her alive. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Peace out.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.